Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Film Pigs Podcast. We're a podcast all about the movies featuring the ever-essential voices of several middle-aged white men. I'm your host this episode, Steve Skelton. I'm here with fellow film pig Todd Robert Anderson.
I'm here, and if you're hearing sound in the background, that's the lady Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I mean, this is how hardcore a movie podcast we are. While we're recording this movie podcast, there is a movie playing elsewhere in the background. Our third film pick, Stephen Falk, can't join us this episode because he's off making television, which ironic is that, or is that like Alanis Morissette ironic?
I think it's Alanis Morissette.
When you're doing a movie podcast, but you can't somebody's do really making TV, isn't it ironic?
Yeah, or I don't know. Maybe it's hypocritical. I don't know.
Is it hypocritical?
If you're,
I think that was going to be on our follow up album.
I don't know.
Anyway, we are talking today about just the state, the movie-going experience, the state of the movie-going experience in 2018.
Oh, yeah. Oh, have you seen any movies on your MoviePass card?
I don't have a MoviePass card.
Well, you should get a movie. Why? Every time.
That's one of the things that we should talk about, because that's the current thing is... in the movie-going world, is this movie pass.
It is.
And the movie pass is this club that you can join.
It's a club.
It's a club, and you get a card, and you for a very low cost, monthly low cost, what is it, Todd?
$10.
$10 a month, then you can go see movies in a number of theaters designated by MoviePass.
At one, you can go to one a day.
One a day.
Unlimited, one a day. Although, they just added this feature. I just learned this when I went to see Ant-Man versus the Wasp Lady.
And the Wasp.
Versus.
No, they weren't fighting.
I saw a different film.
You saw the version a bunch of Reddit incels are petitioning that it remade.
It was just Paul Rudd and a lost lady,
Evangeline Lilly.
I wanted to call her Lily something. See,
yeah.
I got it backwards. But yeah. It was just 2 hours of them punching each other. It was not satisfying as a film.
I think you saw a different film.
It was weird. It was called Ant-Man versus Wasp Lady. I don't know.
I think you saw one of those like Anchor Bay knockoffs, or.
And they said it was Paul Rudd and eventually Lily, but they look like children.
But it was
in smocks. It was in poorly colored.
It was actually, his name was Paul Rube. He was credited as.
And she was Evangeline Lily.
But I'm positive that's the blockbuster everyone else is saying.
But long story short. They added a surcharge for peak hour.
So they've got...
we went to a 1 o'clock or a 1:15 afternoon on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So there was a $5 surcharge for that ticket.
Why on like a matinee?
Because it was the weekend.
Just a general weekend charge.
Yeah, if it's like anything like after 12 on a weekend with a thing that's been is only 2 weeks old, then you're gonna...
Well, but this is what is fascinating about this whole MoviePass business model, if you can call it that, is that it's $10 a month, basically, and like you can see one movie a day.
Right.
Not any theater, only the theaters on the list that MoviePass has partnerships with.
Which is a lot of them.
Actually. Yeah, which is plenty.
Yeah.
But not like, in LA, not like an Arclight. You can't go to the Arclight.
No, the real specialty places, you can go to like a Studio Movie Grill.
Yeah.
But like you can't, what's it called? Like
Cinemark?
Not Cinemark. There's like with the couches. Is that Cinemark?
I think that's Cinemark.
Well, those fancy ones, they don't take
them.
But most of them do, like the main chains.
So, but like the average ticket price for a movie in the United States is like $9.
Yeah. On low, like a matinee. Yeah, 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 sure.
No, but I think just like if you're like in Idaho, averages out to about $9.
And out here, it's like 15.
You have to go to $9. You got to go to a cheap theater,
right?
But like ArcLight is like going to be like at least $16.
Yeah, to walk through the door,
just to get in there. But so. The math doesn't seem to work out.
Well, I assume that they were counting on people to get the subscription and not take advantage of it.
Right.
It's like the gift certificate business model is we're counting on a lot of people to forget they have the gift card.
And if they just go, like they're counting on people to just go once a month. So it's kind of a wash and maybe they're making a sliver of that.
Right.
You know, is their profit margin. Because they have to reimburse the theaters.
But what has happened is everybody who's gotten a movie pass card is actually going to several movies a week.
Yeah. And so they have to keep now they're, because it used to be, you can just go all day, who cares? And they've been lately revised, like, well, now you can just go one a day. Okay, now the surcharges for peak time, they Ubered for the weekend with surge pricing.
And now they've added, because you can't get in to like IMAX shows and 3D shows for the most part.
Yeah.
You can't use MoviePass unless now there's another tier. So that would be $18 a month or whatever.
Right.
Or 15
right,
or whatever it is. And then you can get into those.
Right.
So
it's still, the math still doesn't, it's still very sketchy.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Like, I mean, it's like, it's as, you know, like, this gotta be, it's just gotta be Russian money. It's like all real estate.
Yeah,
it's got to be. It's gotta like it's gonna end up being like Trump's involved, and the Mueller will like subpoena MoviePass,
and everyone with a MoviePass card will be rounded and put in camps at the border.
You'll be here. Collaborators.
No, I just it seemed like a good deal.
Get in the truck.
God damn it!
You're going.
I love you, family.
Everyone with a movie pass card will be used as a forced labor to build the wall.
And that's when Thanos gets all the jewels or whatever they are.
When he gets his,
everyone with a movie pass card is going to turn to dust.
When he gets his fancy mitten.
Fancy mitten.
That's what it was, Avengers Infinity Mitten. It was
the working title.
So MoviePass is it's maddening and also fascinating to watch because it can only end in criminal charges. I don't see how it can't.
Or just bankruptcy.
Yeah, just like a massive collapse. Now on the flip side, and I was trying to look it up earlier, but I my internet on my phone was slow.
Welcome to Simi Valley.
There's one competitor to MoviePass. It's not Cinema, but Cinemia, S-I-N-M-E-A, is how it's spelled. And they have a slightly different plan.
Mm-hmm.
Their plan, it's more expensive, but you can go to any theater. You can go to ArcLight.
How much is that?
So it's like, I think it ends up being more just like a discount on tickets is how it,
versus a
because it's like a more it's like a over $10 but you can only go like once a month.
I see.
So really it's just like knocking, like if you're going to an ArcLight, I think it's the equivalent of just knocking $5 off your
ticket. You only get one movie a month,
I think their lowest plan, and then you can get more movies per month.
I see
more expensive, but again it's not like as ludicrously give away movie tickets crazy as MoviePass.
Yeah,
it seems like it's a might be more reasonable in terms of business solvency.
Well, they can actually that's true. I wonder, what do you know what came first?
I think MoviePass came first.
MoviePass came
but
first,
I don't
and
really
this one was like,
I mean,
well, they're gonna fold, and then people are gonna want to replace.
And again, like I didn't mention at the top of this, but this is a bacon episode, so I didn't really prepare. I didn't even do like a rudimentary Google search on
so
the history of
these
companies.
You're basically like our current United States president going to any given summit.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Fake news.
I am not prepared.
Nope. You're the puppet. So, but yeah, so that's, but that, but it kind of speaks to, this whole movie pass thing kind of speaks on a larger level to the issue of, you know, getting butts in seats into movie theaters in the first place, because that seems to be a recurring element in the entertainment industry now, which is declining movie attendance. True. Which I think is, you know, a reason why we see so many like big bombastic spectacle comic book movies. Mm-hmm. Because people go to those.
It's the only way to get people to go. Yeah. They're less likely to go see a quiet little movie.
Yeah, exactly. They're gonna go see an Infinity Mitten and not, you know,
you call me by my name.
Call me, yeah, hey, you.
Look out for the stars.
Hey, you, what's my name?
Hey, here come the falling stars. Sadness.
So, yeah, so it seems like it's more consistent. Mm-hmm. It's also, you know, it's also a much bigger risk, but there's the reward is much greater. Because, right. I mean, it's like, look, you know, all the you know, dude nerds that are screaming about how terrible The Last Jedi is, that movie made $1.5 billion.
Yeah.
It was not a failure.
No.
By any means.
Not financially speaking, yeah. No.
And that, but that's ultimately what counts for Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
You
it
know,
doesn't
they don't,
matter.
Hollywood doesn't give a shit whether anybody likes The Last Jedi or not. What they care about is that people go.
Yeah, exactly. But that, the question I have about that, because that's true generally, yeah. But there was never a sequel to Cocktail. And that did gangbusters.
Well, they probably just couldn't decide on which of the all really well thought out and artistically valid takes that they had.
Yeah.
And they were all so good.
I know.
Like, how can
but
we,
it's like,
we want to make them all, but we don't have the, we can't justify that.
All I'm saying is when Tom Cruise pours, he reigns. That's all I'm saying.
And he's not at all the figurehead of a monstrous organization.
No, no.
And we all participate in some really amazing cognitive dissonance when we go to see his movies.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Can I just, tangentially, can I complain?
No, not on this podcast.
Just for a second.
We like to keep things structured.
Let me just, I don't want to derail the MoviePass conversation, but if I have to see the fucking trailer for Mission Impossible 6 or whatever it is, yeah, one more time, I'm going to blow a gasket. Like, I kind of, I'm fatigued about it. I'm not excited about the movie,
yeah,
because I've seen the trailer,
yeah,
too many times.
It feels like the movie's already been out and gone.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Because they're pushing it so hard and fast.
Yeah, I don't care for, I'm sick of it. And it doesn't matter what movie you see.
Yeah.
Every single movie. It doesn't, if you go to a cartoon movie for kids, or you go see,
yeah, it's everywhere.
The first Purge, every movie, yeah, doesn't matter what studio, yeah, doesn't matter. Mission Impossible. They must be spending so much money to get their trailer in front of every,
oh, God,
goddamn,
yeah,
thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so annoying at this point. The bad guy's like, weird voice, you're gonna, the blood will be on your hands. It's like, Jesus Christ, how many times do I have to hear that? Anyway, sorry, complaint over.
No, it's a perfectly valid complaint. I don't think I have anything else to say about MoviePass.
Well, in that respect,
but you know, what do you?
That's like one.
But what's your experience with MoviePass? Because you are a card-carrying member of MoviePass.
Well, the.
Are you now, or have you ever been?
I don't know what MoviePass is. I plead the fifth. I'm out. I will not sit
have
down.
You no sense of peanut M&M's, sir.
I will not sit down with Mueller. I will not meet with Mueller. I have a meeting with the Russian president that I have to go to instead. Sorry. Not MoviePass. Not MoviePass. Fake news MoviePass. No, here's the thing about MoviePass. It's great. It seems too good to be true.
Because it is, and the math bears that out.
Well, that's when I learned about it. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't, yeah, care. I'm getting one. I'm going to use it until they fold.
And you're not a businessman.
I'm not a businessman.
You don't have business training.
Nope.
You never went to business school.
Nope.
If you had to assemble, like if you were tasked with assembling a business plan for a presentation to investors, you would be lost.
Lost.
And yet, even you recognize this makes no sense.
No.
On a business level.
But it's also, it's one of those things, it reminds me of that time where a friend of mine said, hey, do you hear about this DVD Premiere Academy? You know, this is already like 14, 15 years ago. And I was like, no, what's that? And he's like, if you just send them an email, like with a link to your IMDb page proving that you work in the industry, they'll just send you DVDs. Yeah. I was like, that is ridiculous and not true. And it sounds like a scam. He's like, just try it. And I did. And I got tons of free DVDs.
until they went out of business.
And it only lasted a couple years. And this is the same thing. Like when I heard about it, I was like, that doesn't make any sense, but who cares? I'm going to take advantage.
As long as they are accepting,
right.
giving me the ticket, and we'll ride this wave until it crashes.
And they've chipped away at it, because when I first got it, you know, I could go to as many movies as I wanted to in a day.
Yeah.
So I did like a double feature.
It's probably your movie going alone is what has caused them to reassess their customer policies.
Yeah. So they did that. And then the next time I tried to see a double feature, it didn't work. I was like, what happened? And then I looked up and I was like, oh, the policy changed. God damn it. You know, and then they actually tried to restrict it to one a week for a little ways. And that only lasted 2 weeks. And they're like, no, sorry. Because everybody was like, fuck you, MoviePass. That's not what I signed up for. And now they've added these surcharges and everything else. So they keep adding to the cost. But it's still...
Right, because they're hemorrhaging money.
Yeah, it's still ludicrously... So it's still... I'm saving a lot of money. But I guess the thing is, though, I am going to as many movies now in the theater as I did when I was in high school. And I haven't done that.
But just at a fraction of the cost.
Well, and the reason why I haven't done
that
since high school...
Thanks to this criminal enterprise called MoviePass.
I haven't done that since high school because, you know, like the cost got so high, and then it's like, well, do I want to spend that money and that time going to some arbitrary movie like Hotel Artemis or Bad Samaritan or Upgraded or any of these these dumb B movies? I would have just waited for video
because
it's cheaper that way. But now I'm like, they're free.
Let's go.
I want to go.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm seeing as many movies as I used to. So I would say that's the positive to it because I know I'm not alone.
No, it seems like it's like the positives are all to the customers, which is unusual.
Yeah.
You know, and cause even with the restrictions they're throwing in, it's still way cheaper.
Right.
Than just paying a regular ticket price. And, you know, and if you've got enough decent theaters in your area to go to, then it is kind of a no-brainer. Now, for me, I don't, like, the couple theaters near me, and this is kind of the other thing I wanted to talk about, is... you know, they're cheaper theaters, and the screens are low quality. And so it's not really, like, I don't even know if we talked about this in the last podcast or if I was just talking to you about it the other day, but I went and saw Incredibles 2 in a cheap theater, and it was a mistake.
Right.
You know, it was a $9 ticket, but... You know, I got in the theater, and it's like one of the cheap theaters, but kind of like, it's like the Cinemark. It had the same type of projection as the Cinemark in my area that's in NoHo, that and a similar kind of half renovation,
right,
where they got rid of the old cheap seats and put in, you know, the
fancy
big bucket
seats
so you were comfy. But the actual screen was small, and the... I don't know the digital projection tech, you know, what the different tiers of it in terms of quality and cost are, but they clearly had cheap projection systems installed because in both the cheap theaters in my area, you get small screens and the projections give a visible screen door effect. Like you can see the pixels.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, if you're seeing animation,
that's
like Incredibles, you get aliasing. You can see the aliasing on the figures.
Oh no!
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm watching this and I'm, you know, looking at the poor quality screen, and I'm thinking to myself, what? This would look better back home on my 10-year-old LCD TV.
Right.
It would look better.
Sure.
Like, the, you know, Blu-ray or whatever would look better. And then, you know, on, you know, your new fancy TV, the Monster, the 4K, it's a you know, a far superior visual experience than going to one of these $9 theaters.
Oh, the tiny, old-timey multiplex theaters that they use. Like, there's that one in next to the Pineapple
Hill. That's the one I saw Incredibles, too.
Yeah. So those old theaters, like, I won't see... There's no point in going to those theaters for that very reason.
Yeah.
Because my TV, it's going to look better. My sound system's probably better.
Yeah, you know?
Around here in Simi, there's three theaters. I guess the kids just call them movie theaters now, but like we grew up in a time where there was literally a movie house one screen, and you know, that's kind of a bygone era. I mean, I think there's one in LA. There's that.
But you know, in my hometown, Indiana, we had when I was growing up, there were kind of three, then I think one burned down, but they were both like the downtown ones. They were both like 1 to 3 screeners.
Yeah.
And then the mall got its addition in the 70s, which added like a little movie theater that I think had 6, mm-hmm. but still kind of cheap.
Yeah, stuff.
And it wasn't until, you know, the late 80s, early 90s that then more modern Cineplex style theater was built,
right?
Which I'm sure is, you know, garbage now, but
right.
But I think there's even another one that's been built since then.
But
they were tiny theaters.
They're tiny.
They were
the little, there's one
with the you know, with like the metal chairs,
and like the
stiff, almost like almost the stiff Velcro style fabric.
Yep.
Seats.
There's still one of those in Simi. There's like one multiplex that has like those old uncomfortable seats.
Yeah.
I think the sound systems are pretty good, but the screens are all old. Like the screens themselves, if they get old, they get buckles in them, or they'll get lines in them.
Or just a big stain.
Right. So yeah, exactly. So if you see anything
like who spilled their coffee up there?
Yeah. Well, how did that happen? And if you go see anything that has bright colors, and especially whites. Like, if you go see a snowy movie on a theater screen like that, it's so goddamn annoying. Because you just see this streak of blackness over what should be an awesome, pristine amount of, you know, white on the screen. But the other two here, there's, like, the Studio Movie Grill, which, you know, they bring you slightly better than fast food to your seat and booze and stuff. And they have, like, pretty comfortable seats. And their screens are good and the sound is good. And then there's another one where they refurbished everything and they have the reclining seats.
Right.
You know, and their screens are kind of like there's a couple auditoriums where the screens are pristine and nice, but then the smaller theaters, like as the movie progresses and the time it's been in theater, they push it to
smaller. Yeah.
And those screens tend to be less nice. But the thing that annoys me the most about both of those theaters is, despite the fact that they've been refurbished, their walls are still too thin.
Yeah, so you can hear
between the thing.
You get like the bass rumbles,
right?
And the,
and if you're in a movie like The Quiet Place, and Infinity War is playing next door, all the creepy quietness is destroyed by like bass hum from the theater next door. So that's one of my biggest problems. And then I'm like, well, why am I not just watching this, you know, at home?
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of the, you know, chatter of my child sometimes. You know, you can't.
Yeah, but you go to a theater these days and
you get the chatter.
You get the chatter anyway.
We were at the...
You get the chatter and the phone glows, so you can do that at home.
Yeah, exactly. Hill and I went to see the first Purge up at the Studio Movie Grill, and, you know, we got lunch, and the guy behind us got lunch and used his phone to light up his food while he was eating it. And Hillary was like, what the fuck? Can't you find your food in the... God damn it. She was so mad. Because it's The Purge. It's a dark, dreary movie. And there's this bright light shining from the row behind
him. And it's like, you know, what are the odds that he has some kind of, you know, visual condition that he needs that light?
Well,
the odds are low.
Yeah, the odds are low. And if that's the case, maybe order a sandwich, something that you can feel around for. You know, or if you need a light to eat your food, fucking go out to eat first and then go to a theater that doesn't serve food. You know what I mean? Just, why not be a little bit cognizant of other people around you?
That's not what we do in this country.
No. I mean, I'm sorry about your glaucoma or whatever it is, but, you know, be polite anyway. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, that's the thing, you know, that's the other half of this whole movie going equation is that you know, home theater tech has gotten so sophisticated and so well made.
Yep.
That it's killing the need to go see something in the theater unless it's so huge.
Yeah.
You know, that you want that experience. And then even then, you still, it's not any theater is going to do for that. Like, you know, I wouldn't ever go see a comic book movie again in, you know, that little theater.
No, because what's the point?
Yeah, because what is the, it looks like I'm in a big room with a malfunctioning television. Visual experience is like.
I have a tier system with these three theaters in Simi Valley, and if I go to the old one.
Is it the Todd system?
It's the Todd system. If I'm going to the old one, it's only to see like the shittiest possible B movie. Like that's where we saw Hurricane Heist.
Yeah, and that know? And that makes sense because that's also it. You match the theater to the expectation.
Yeah, yeah. And then you sit in there and you laugh, and people get rowdier in theaters like that, you know. So
because yes, yeah, everyone's like because yeah, there is a more of an understanding. It's like it's kind of a shitty theater, so who cares?
Yeah, exactly. But then like the bigger movies, I have to see at one of the other two theaters.
Yeah.
But I prefer, like, as far as seats, those reclining seats. I do like that.
Oh, yeah. No. It's like, that's the across the, from the Pineapple and the Cinemark stuff. That's their best feature are the nice comfy seats. And it's
do just, they put in recliners in that one? Are they recline or are they just...
In the Cinemark, they got the recliners. I'm trying to remember. I think by the Pineapple, they got at least the one theater that I saw Incredibles in. I think they were reclinies.
Oh, okay.
Might have just been that theater, though.
I think most theaters are... And all the theaters out here now serve booze.
Yeah,
although the cheap one hasn't started yet, but they have a big sign that says, coming soon, yeah, booze.
But again, that's like, you know, they're trying to adapt to the changing times. And it's like, how do we get people out? It's like, oh, you know, what's people like? Having booze brought to them.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know I do.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things.
Bring me some booze.
Thank you for the booze you just brought me.
And a flatbread pizza, if I could.
Too sweet.
Make this happen, teenager.
Make this happen, disinterested teenager.
Actually...
Understandably disinterested teenager. Yeah.
They're actually at the Studio Movie Grill. The teenagers there are actually very nice.
Oh,
well, they're not just ushers,
yeah,
or ticket takers. They're like essentially the ticket taker is also the host for the restaurant, and then the people who come around in the theater, they're servers. Oh, okay.
I wonder how they get paid. I don't know if they get paid maybe a little bit better than average for movie theater.
That's a good question. But the servers are probably getting server money. So they get like the minimum wage, and then they're working for tips.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as the hosts, that's a good question. I don't know if they make more or not. But actually, I think I'm not 100% sure how they manage it. But I feel like I see some people who are waiting, you know, who are serving, also ripping tickets. So maybe they take turns shifting around, working for tips. I don't know.
So I mean, what do you think is the, you know, the next 10 years of movie going to look like?
I don't know. I mean, unfortunately, I think the only thing that is getting people out of their house and into the theater are big, loud intellectual property movies, the Star Warses and the Marvels and even the DCs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I think in order for...
And that seems to... It shows no signs of abating.
No. And
like the comic book movie, you know, as trendy as it is to roll your eyes at it now, you know, that sphere, it's got an audience that has not been satiated yet.
Right, that's true. Well, and we've talked in podcast past about the movie star system, and maybe that's sort of kind of disintegrated. It'd be interesting to see. I don't know how Skyscraper did this past weekend.
I don't think it did well.
See, that's the thing. I mean, and this is the only big, giant, effects-laden Dwayne Johnson movie that's coming out this summer that isn't part of a franchise.
Yeah.
So this is like essentially a tentpole movie.
Was Jumanji this year?
No, that was the end of last year. But that's still a franchise movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, arguably Rampage didn't do very well either. No. But arguably that's, you know, intellectual property. That's,
but how well, really, I mean, Rampage is an unusual, why anybody thought that was going to work?
Yeah, that's like,
I've been going through the filing cabinets, and it turns out we still have the movie rights to this 80s video game.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I think they're digging so deep to find that intellectual property, because and there's no accounting for stupidity and, you know, incompetence.
Oh no.
And that's what that is. That's an example of we only traffic in intellectual property anymore.
Yeah.
So we're digging so deep.
Well, and on top of we're only going to traffic in stuff we already have some sort of ownership on, so we don't have to pay somebody else to make some new IP.
Right.
That something new that we could turn into a new, franchise.
Right.
You know, it's like, they're not even looking for new franchises. They're looking for something they already own so we can keep as much of the money as possible.
Right. Yeah, and...
Because it used to be, you know, studios used to be on the lookout for the next big franchise. Who's the creator? Who's going to create the next big, you know, franchise, the next Die Hard franchise, the next Lethal Weapon franchise. And they would actively look for
the next Surviving the Game franchise.
But, you know, they're not all winners.
But they try.
Yeah. But
and I would watch a whole swath of Ice-T movies where he's running away from
where he's
white
surviving
people.
Different games.
Horrible games led by horrible white people. I'm into that.
I really would. That would be awesome.
It would be. I can't get enough of that iced tea.
Yeah. So it's, you know, in some cases it seems like the business is aggressively eating itself right now.
But I mean, I think the reason why they're doing stupid shit like that is the only movies that get people out of the house are these intellectual property movies.
Yeah.
I mean, A Quiet Place did well, and that was, you know,
but those it seems original. To be more of an outlier where something pops in.
Yeah,
I
think that's rare, and I think there's a lot of those movies getting produced, but people aren't really watching them. So they have lower budgets, like your Hotel Artemis, like all those movies I mentioned before, which were fun B movies.
But I think it's also a case of just, you know, the Hollywood machine doubling down on what it thinks it knows versus trying to figure out what it doesn't know. Because I mean, you get like in the horror genre, you know, we had the Quiet Place and Get Out.
Yeah.
Before that, there was a huge breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a really, really well-made movie with a really well-defined point of view. And yeah, of course, this is gonna hit an audience. And,
sure.
But the machine that exists isn't set up to recognize that. It can't.
No.
Because of its biases and its its chasing of numbers versus ideas.
I actually think that's an interesting thing to think about. This isn't about the theater going experience anymore, but that horror has become the genre where the most mainstream experimental stuff happens.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, they can get away with it. Yeah. And so much of it is Platinum Dunes, like Quiet Place, uh-huh. Uh-huh. And more importantly, Blumhouse. Mm-hmm. Is just, and mm-hmm. they can take more risks and do more stuff with, you know, it's just interesting when they choose to make something R-rated and when they choose to make something PG-13. I don't always understand.
Whatever the alchemy that goes into that determination.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that shifts more towards old school Hollywood machine of what's going to generate bigger dollars. We get more teens in the theaters with PG-13 than with R.
So they make their slasher movies
PG-13,
which I'm like, why? What is the point?
It defeats the purpose of a slasher.
It really
movie.
Does. It's really dumb. But I every now and then they'll come up with one. I mean, Quiet Place was a PG-13 movie that I liked, even though.
But again, that was a horror movie that wasn't. Its central element wasn't slashing.
Right, right,
you know?
Exactly.
It was central element was was psychological terror.
And
was,
Happy Death Day, I liked that one. Did
I didn't
you
see
that?
Happy
Death Day. I was expecting to hate it, and which so you know low yeah you know, expectations maybe, but it's basically Groundhog Day, but as a horror movie.
Oh, okay.
And
that's fun.
She's both. She at first she's just trying to avoid the death, and then she slowly learns she can't. So then it becomes about figuring out who it is.
Oh, okay.
You know, so okay. And it's tense, and they smartly, like, every time she's sort of like a video game, I guess. Every time she does get killed, when she wakes up and the day starts over, she's in a physically worse off than she was. So there is a finite amount of time. It's not like Groundhog Day where it can go forever.
Okay, yeah, she stops. Loses a bit every time.
Yeah,
she
so she's running out of time to figure it out. But there's also the terror of her being chased by
a killer.
No, I like
that idea. That's a good concept.
It was, and for a PG-13 movie, I mean, I would have preferred it if it was R and it was like threw in some gore, but because it was clever enough and smart enough and well-paced enough, I was like, okay, I can live without the gore because I'm enjoying this. But, you know, I think those things are sort of rare. But in every other genre, I would say it has to be intellectual property, you know? I mean, they're making a sequel to Mamma Mia, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that?
A sequel to Mamma Mia.
Who liked Mamma Mia?
I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, I'm trying to... I guess it did well, right?
Yeah, but, like, if they're making a sequel to Mamma Mia, how come there's no Step Up 6? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
everybody loves those Step Up movies.
Okay, so final thoughts on the movie-going experience, current state.
I would say that really if the movie... it's so much of it is about the movie theaters and the theater owners.
Yeah.
And they're kind of screwed because they don't make money off the movies themselves. They make monies off the concessions.
Yeah.
But it's on them to refurbish their theaters and make them better. And that's really what has to happen. I mean, even the ones that are getting refurbished, I think that their walls should be soundproofed in such a way.
Because even at, you know, the preferred Arclight, you get sound bleed through like crazy.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I think that that's a huge thing that needs to change. But that's going to require bazillions of dollars in refurbishment.
Yeah, so, their margins are already so thin that there's no way they're going to do that.
But somebody somewhere, some rich person, is going to start another Arclight type chain and they're going to kick
address
it up
those
when
problems.
They build
yeah.
that and then
yeah.
that's going to be the new, you know. But the smaller theaters...
But then that's going to be a $25 ticket.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other theaters, they're not going to be able to keep up with it unless they start charging $25. And then nobody's going to go to the movies.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just rich people. Rich.
Yeah.
Rich.
No, but then, decent looking TVs are cheap enough now.
Yeah.
That, you know, then okay, I get that in my Netflix and, you know, I can do movie night at home. Who cares?
Yeah. It's like a crazy problem. I don't know how to wrap. I don't know what the solution is to get more people going out to theaters. It just seems.
Yeah.
It seems like a almost untenable problem.
Well, it could also just be, you know, a shift in how we consume entertainment in general. Because it is, you know, this is also tied to the rise of the internet and the rise of the availability of so much content.
Yeah.
In your home.
Right.
Or on your fucking phone.
Yeah.
That it's changing, you know, socially our patterns and our behavior and how we do it. So, you know, so a big movie theater going experience might ultimately turn into a boutique kind of thing where there is more better food, better booze, and Netflix owned chains.
That's a good point. I mean, I think so, like, as they evolve, if they're to stay, like these physical movie theaters, as opposed to going in the direction of Blockbuster, of which there is still just one brick-and-mortar Blockbuster
in this country. Or like our old-school theaters that usually get, these days, renovated into public, you know, live arts venues.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and they'll have to make a whole thing. It'll be more than the movie, you know?
Yeah.
And more than just theater. There'll have to be other stuff that gets people in there, like making it a club or something, you know. They'll have like a big fancy bar in the lobby or something like that, so it becomes like a singles meet and greet. You go and you hook up and then you watch a movie and then, you know, maybe you get lucky after, I don't know.
So you hey, you want to go to the sex movies tonight? it's we're gonna see Infinity War 12 And then there's an orgy.
I would go.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
So that's the future of movies, everyone. More Avengers movies and orgies. So I think that's a good place to wrap it up. As always, thank Todd Robert Anderson for joining us on this podcast.
And until next week's show, the orgy balcony is closed.
And thank you to Adam Blau for the music. Thank you in advance to all of our future orgy partners.